He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the February 9th, the day before the big CPI report tomorrow day here. And we are live and we've got the market. Maybe those beatings of January finally coming to a close here. We'll see. Right now we've got the Dow up 283 points to 35,746. The market has definitely stabilized here since a rough January. S&P 500 up 48 points right now. That's 1%, 4569. The NASDAQ is up 170 to 14,364. The small caps up 1.3% today. That's the Russell 2000, which has been, getting closer and closer to breaking that 2000 level. Small caps had a horrible January. Crude oil is up just a skosh yesterday after a little drop yesterday. Crude is at $89.67. I think the API reports were fairly bullish after yesterday's close. Gold is up $1.10 to $1,829 per ounce. Silver, which has been making a little noise recently, silver's down 4 cents today, however, at 23.16. And the 10-year was making big news yesterday. It was up to 1.96 yesterday. Today it's falling back to 1.94, but all eyes on that CPI report tomorrow as far as interest rates go. And inflation, obviously. Bitcoin has had a rally here. It's up about $8,000 now in February after a rough January. It's up 437 to 44,127. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and a chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite. Barry, it looks like, you know, January was brutal.
And of course, to say the least.
Yeah, we put in some shock absorbers, so it wasn't too rough for our clients and followers in the way of inverse funds, in addition to our long position. So we didn't bounce around too much in January. On those big, big down days, we were actually up a little bit. But on the big, big up days, obviously, we trail the market. So we had a smooth ride in January. I pretty much kind of neutralized the portfolios just to get through it. And maybe those beatings, those thrashings of January are behind us. I am seeing some stabilization in the S&P and the Dow. The NASDAQ still looks the worst of the three indexes to me, but it has stabilized just a little bit here. But I think I'm not ready to declare the coast is clear for a while until we get that CPI report tomorrow, Barry. How important is that CPI report?
Yeah, you know, it's, I mean, we know it's going to be a big number. The funny thing is, I was talking, you know, looking at estimates, right? It's, you know,
what if
it comes in as a surprise? I want to say it's in the 5.6 range.
Okay.
I'll pull it up in front of me
in just
a second. But yeah, I heard, you know, a joke like, hey, if it comes in at 5, right, then that would be, very good for the market. And it's like, you know, when you hear out loud,
yes,
saying, you know, a 5 handle on CPI being a surprise in a good way.
Yeah.
And that's on the core CPI. Yeah, the estimates at this point are, 7.2% on the
– Is that what it is?
On the CPI year to year.
And
to put that in context, it was 7 last month. That's the median forecast, and then the core CPI is 5.5%, and it's 5.5% last month, and then they're looking for a 5.9 number, this go around. So that's why they were like, hey, if a 5 comes in, it's like, that would be fantastic. And it's like, people were talking about, like, I can't believe that I'm saying a 5.
Yeah, you know, I've got to see the number tomorrow. I got to see the reaction by the bond market. And if the Fed says anything, if it comes in hotter than expected, those beatings of January, especially in the high tech space, could continue, could start up again. We'll see. You know, I'm not really willing. I'm willing to start cutting back on my inverse ETF hedges, but I want to see that CPI report, because the worry is, I mean, the worst case scenario is that the inflation genie is out of the bottle, and the Fed will not be able to put it back into the bottle without many, many rate hikes. And they could even possibly, I mean, there's a precedence for this, of putting the U.S. economy into a recession to get it under control. So that's why it's so important to watch that number tomorrow. The market seems to be a little bit optimistic here that it won't be as bad as expected. But I don't have a prediction. I'm going to wait and see. That's all I know, is every day I report new 25-year highs on whether it's food or soybeans or aluminum. I mean, it's just across the board.
Well, and so, we also get initial jobless claims tomorrow, which throw another pretty important report on top of the CPI. So
yes, and we have a big 10-year Treasury auction today. We'll see how that goes. There was some dip buying in the bond market following yesterday's drop in price. And, you know, the basis, it's 1.95 right now, getting very, very close. The 10-year has not topped 2% since August of 2019. I thought the PPI and the CPI were in the same week, but I'm wrong.
Yeah, PPI is going to be on next Tuesday, actually.
Next Tuesday.
That on the calendar. Yeah,
I thought it was today. So I didn't need to wear a neck brace to work today.
we had wholesale inventories today. They rose. So that either be two things. It means either people are buying less, or that we're actually getting some things on the shelf, one or the other. So
board Fed speakers today: board member Michelle Bowman at 10:30 a.m. That's in 17 minutes, and Cleveland Fed President Loretta Meister at noon. Fed fund futures are currently pricing a 35% chance of a 50 basis point rate hike in March. And 5.45 rate hikes in 2022 as a whole. Obviously, there couldn't be 5.45 rate hikes, but somewhere between 5 and 6, we'll call it. That's a lot of rate hikes.
I feel like you're throwing out the spread for the Super Bowl this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take the over on that 5.45 at Vegas. U.S. economists see year-on-year CPI increasing to 7.2, which would be the highest going back to 1982. That was a watershed year. That's the year that Paul Volcker took interest rates up 9% from 11 to 20, intentionally putting us into a recession. Okay, mortgage applications. This is interesting. I haven't looked at the 30-year for a while. Mortgage applications drop, obviously, as interest rates escalate. The 30-year right now is 3.83. We were under 3 for a while. We're up almost 100 basis points now on the 30-year. There's no inventory from, at least in our neck of the woods. There's people putting ads. Does anybody know of anyone that wants to sell their home or condo right now? That's how hot things are in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, and Charleston area. And I know my old home of San Diego is about the same. The supply chain is on watch as the Freedom Convoy protests spread to border crossings. I've been through that Windsor Tunnel across Detroit into Canada. And that's where a lot of the action is taking place. But, of course, the Canadian capital of Ottawa is where the real disturbances are. And the supply chain, I've been watching timber stocks. There is an ETF called CUT, C-U-T. And, it's starting to bound higher a little bit here. I've also been watching Boise Cascade, other timber stocks move higher. The truckers obviously are protesting the vaccine mandate to cross the border. And, of course, the automobile sector, boy, I tell you what, I mean, it's been rough with between Ford, GM, Honda, Toyota, all reporting tough situation to get any cars on their lots to sell right now. Okay, when we come back, one big market watcher says there is no inflation. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know how, Barry, you're flying and all of a sudden the seatbelt light comes on and the plane starts bumping and shaking and sometimes a little bit more than usual.
And you get the message over the, you get the pilot message over the, and you hear like the ding, ding.
It usually happens right when they deliver your lunch. But anyways, that, January was like that, okay, and I battened down the hatches and put seatbelts on the portfolios as things gyrated and jumped around those minus 500 point days on the NASDAQ, not the Dow, on the NASDAQ. They were brutal. And, you know, I look at those inverse ETFs as seatbelts to kind of cushion the ride quite a bit. Sometimes you have to cinch those seat belts down a little more than normal. And I'm willing to start, you know, letting people walk around the cabin again here, but I want to see tomorrow. That's the way I look at that. I feel very strongly. I'm very, very worried about inflation and what it might cause the Fed to have to do. I hope I'm wrong. But, you know, I mean, we always have to be prepared. We have to look out for our clients and what could happen if tomorrow's CPI came in at 8.5% or something like that.
Well, we're positioned for the worst, I think.
We're positioned.
The names that we're in and where we're at within the market, right, are certainly, you know, certainly would benefit, right, from a high CPI number. Of course, that has more long-ranging benefits or long-ranging issues for the portfolios and the markets in general, but you know, kind of where we're at, where we're certainly got the defense on the field and prepared for a surprise.
And as I look at 1,000 charts at least every single day, you know, there's definitely a trend here. It's high relative strength above 90, and its P.E. ratio is under 15, 16, somewhere in that area. And that's going to eliminate a lot of stocks. That's going to eliminate a lot of sectors. And when all is said and done, you know, the sectors that led in 2019 and somewhat the first part of last year, they're the worst sectors to be in. I don't see them coming back. I just don't. So now you're going to be looking at banks. You're going to be looking at insurance stocks. You're going to be looking at oil and gas energy stocks. You're going to be looking at financials. You're going to be looking at commodity stocks that benefit from inflation. And we might get the precious metal stocks to join in the party here. They are rumbling a little bit, but they too have high relative strength, low P.E. ratios. That's just what I see from my perspective. You know, I just try to be honest and give my honest observations of a guy who's in the water every single day. And I see an article here on Seeking Alpha. By the way, our article is trending on the front page of Seeking Alpha right now about, you know, the NASDAQ, our prospects for the NASDAQ this year, what we think, you know, is up with this NASDAQ in this current environment we're in. You can go to Seeking Alpha. You'll see my mug up there.
Picture sixth on the list right now.
I'm number six. I like that number one spot, but you know what am I gonna say? Somebody's got an article.
It's an AT&T article.
Yeah, I can't. I can't go up against an AT&T article. But anyways, I'm happy to see it trending. It's there. But here's one of my main worries and themes for this year. Saxo Bank issues its February fixed income chart pack Wednesday, highlighting the move in real interest rates. And here's what they say, and I totally agree. The acceleration in real yield should begin to worry stock and corporate bonds holders. Well, I would go even a step further and call it corporate bond fund holders, says Althea Spinosi. Senior fixed income strategist wrote in the note, 10-year real yields rose more than 65 basis points since the beginning of the year. They broke above key resistance. That's what I said. They did that a week ago Friday. As real yields get closer to zero, the tighter the financing conditions, posing a threat for risky assets. Man, can we all bow our heads and say amen? There is the real risk, is those risky assets. And I've talked about them ad nauseum. And I think for those people who think that those risky assets are going to come back, I'm just going to remind you that I'm a veteran of the 2000.com bubble, the bursting of that. Those stocks did not come back. And I see a very similar situation in the market today, where you've got a Fed hiking on the one side and you've got high PE ratios of the market on the other side. And I'm not going to say it's going to happen again, but the NASDAQ went down 80% in the year 2000 under very similar circumstances, okay? So anyways, that comes from Saxo Bank. That's a good analysis. That's a very good analysis. Real rates, okay, so they're using real rates. What is that? Real rates are...
Real rates will be your essentially what inflation is running, right?
Yes.
And then, so, you know, it's going to be what interest rates, you know, currently are, what you use whatever metric you want, right? So minus the inflation rate, right, is going to equal your real rate. So, for example, if you have a, you know, 7% return and inflation's running 3, right? For simple math, there's a little compounding in there, but for simple math, right, that's a 4% real return.
Yes.
And essentially, right now, you've got, you know, at least for an extended period of time, you've had interest rates being lower than your inflation rate, so meaning you've had negative real rates. So as she's mentioning in that, you know, they've moved 60 points towards zero from being negative, and so basically that interest rate is beginning to get closer and closer, right, to whatever the prevailing inflation rate is.
Yeah, they're showing a three-year chart. This is in Seeking Alpha today of real rates. That's a good chart. Maybe I should include that chart in my newsletter. That thing's breaking out, so that's not a good sign. Anyways, okay, and in fact, 30-year real, and then they showed the 10-year. Now they're showing the 30-year real yields break above zero for the first time since May 2021. And that's quite an uptrend you're looking at there on the 30-year real yields. And what does all of that mean? That means, well, you know what? Inflation is a big problem here right now. Iron ore tops $150 a ton as China eases steel carbon emission cutbacks. Iron ore futures in Singapore surged past $150 a metric ton. They're up, they're up quite a bit here over the last couple of months. And guess, iron ore has rebounded more than 70% from November's plunge. Well, when we come back, we've got one big market guru saying there's no inflation. We do not have an inflation problem. I hope this guru is right. I don't know about if I agree or not. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, almost every day we talk about something hitting new highs in price, but there's one guru out there who disagrees. And it's my favorite guru. You know, look, she likes to be in the news. And that's why we talk about her a lot, because she gets headlines. Kathy Wood says we do not have an inflation problem. ARK Invest CEO Kathy Wood used her latest monthly market webinar Tuesday to reiterate her criticism of the financial community's focus on rising prices, stating bluntly, we don't have an inflation problem. Her thesis, Barry, is that the inflation numbers doesn't take into account productivity numbers going higher. And she says this causes a serious miscalculation in terms of what's going to happen to inflation. So anyways, there's always an outlier, and it's usually a Kathy Wood. Meanwhile, her ARK fund, ARKK, is down 22.1% year to date as the 10-year yield approaches 2%. This is the next article that caught my eye in Seeking Alpha today. The action has placed added pressure on technology exchange-traded funds. And they show a very interesting chart, which I totally agree with. It shows the relationship between rising interest rates and falling technology. Very nice chart there. As interest rates go higher, tech goes lower. It's a pretty simple concept. It's the same concept that applies to the bond market. As interest rates go higher, the value of bonds go lower. And I would say this, that the you can't make a blanket statement that you know, all tech goes down as interest rates go higher. I'm just going to put a general rule, the higher the P.E. ratio, the more vulnerable the stock or group or sector or ETF is to rising interest rates, okay? And we've been talking about this now for a long, long, long time, because this really all started a year ago, last February, the first round. The Fed didn't do it. The market did it. And then came Delta, cooled off a little bit. And now here we are. This time the Fed's going to do it. And they're going to do it again. And again and again, it sounds like, going forward. That should make the hair on the back of your neck stand up a little bit if you're in the high P.E., more risky asset category of the market. And you're free to disagree with us. I'm just telling you, this is my opinion. This comes from my 23 years at the trading desk here for Gunderson Capital Management as a market watcher, as a frequent writer for Seeking Alpha. What about Facebook? Holy cow, is this thing of value now? I'm seeing a lot of the stocks that are trending now on Seeking Alpha, Barry. Facebook is now a value stock. Well, Facebook has a P.E. ratio of 16 right now. I haven't seen it at 16 ever.
Yeah,
ever.
A forward of 17, by the way. I mean, so, you know, you could make that argument, right? You know, it depends on how, you know, what destroyed them, right, is the fact that, you know, they're, you know, needing to keep up with Apple's privacy, you know, changes to there, so they can't target their ads as much, right? So the trick for Facebook is going to be, you know, adapting technologically, right, to that, They also have some big expenses planned for building out the metaverse, right? So you do have some, you have some execution risk there as well. But I mean, if, you know, to be exposed to big tech, right? And getting it at a 17 PE forward,
well, I'm gonna,
it seems attractive.
I'm gonna illustrate a point here, however, though. I've made the, I came away, after over many years that there, I like low PE. Yes, I do, indeedy, but relative strength is also necessary.
And can't
I built,
be good looking at that
no,
chart.
I'm gonna tell you what it is here in a minute, and I built my app on that concept. We made great progress yesterday. You know, the front end of the app is what you see. The back end of the app is what you don't see. Now, there's all the formulas and the data and all the crunching, the number crunching. And we made tremendous progress on both ends of the app yesterday. And I'm really trying to get that thing back up and running here. And it'll be greatly improved this week. But anyways, I built the app on the concept that, yes, I love to be a value investor, but I want relative strength. Otherwise, you're stuck in a value trap. And Facebook could well be a value trap. AT&T has been a value trap for years. IBM has been a value trap for years. They have low PE ratios, but terrible relative strength. Facebook's relative strength right now is 18. So if Facebook had a PE of 16 and a relative strength of 90 and a good solid uptrending stock chart, I'd be all over this thing. But you're not going to find that in Facebook right now. You're going to find that instead in a stock like BP, for instance, okay? BP has a relative strength of 96, has a PE ratio of just 9, you know, like almost one half of what Facebook is. And BP has got a solid stock chart hitting a new all-time high today. Now, that's more my cup of tea here. And BP pays a dividend yield of 3.8%. So you can see how this market has turned around big time. And it's favoring the low PE stocks. Yes, absolutely. And you say, well, Facebook is a low PE stock at 16. Well, it's still plunging. I mean, it's like catching a falling knife. It's got to build a base somewhere, start going sideways, start building a support level of new buyers coming in that have confidence in the stock at this level. Right now, I would say it's still in a big distribution phase here. No accumulation. You want to see that distribution turn the corner to accumulation. And we're not seeing that yet. That could take weeks or months. And then you want to see that relative strength start to improve. So, I mean, buying it here, yeah, you know what? You're taking the chance. Yeah, I'm buying it cheap. It's been a great stock over the years. It probably won't get any cheaper. Well, I'm not so sure about that. We'll see how that CPI comes in tomorrow. Speaking of other stocks that have been much ballyhooed, Lyft is in the news today. They reported earnings. They're starting to turn profitable, I will say that. But they have a forward PE of about 25 right now and a relative strength of 23. Okay, so I think I'm just trying to make it as easy as I can for people out there looking for individual stocks. Look at the PE ratio or the forward PE ratio that's readily available. Now, I don't know where else you can get relative strength numbers. I think most services have them, stock charts, some of the free services. I get my relative strength numbers from investors.com, which is Investors Business Daily. I get them from the MarketSmith charts, and I just look in the right-hand lower corner. There's the relative strength. I look in the upper left-hand corner, there's the PE ratio, and then I look at a one-year stock chart, and it's pretty obvious. I want all three of those in place at the same time. Okay, let's just check in on Uber really quickly, a transformational company, a game changer. It's still losing money, okay, so they don't have a PE ratio, and their relative strength is 26. on a scale of 1 to 99. Xpeng rallies after dual listing. Okay, that's a Chinese electric car. I thought we would just take a quick look and check in on them, see how they're doing. Relative strength 52, still losing money. See how quick that was. Canopy Growth reports earnings. That was a stock that went to 56, 59, 60 at one time. That's one of the leading cannabis stocks, from 60 down to $8 per share, still losing money. Relative strength on Canopy Growth of, I want to say two or three, something like that. It's horrible. Four. Relative strength of four on a scale of 1 to 99. Let's see what else we got here. We've got some music playing in my ear. I'll do one more. Enphase, which is a solar stock, had a good day yesterday. Problem. PE of 60. Relative strength of 23. We'll be right back with some good ones for you. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. If you get a chance, you check out our article today on the front page of SeekingAlpha.com. It's basically our prospects for the NASDAQ here in 2022. Okay, this combination of high PE, low relative strength, I'm going to give you some examples here. But before I do that, I just want to mention the VIX. I do watch that VIX very, very closely. The VIX got up to 30. That's the volatility index, or recently got up to 28 in January, and now it's settled back down to about 19, okay? So it's important to watch the VIX. That's one thing I watch every day. That means that the market is mellowing out. It's stabilizing from a very, very rocky January. But, again, I think it could be shaken up tomorrow. We'll see if that CPI comes in hotter than expected. I personally think there's a bigger chance of it coming in hotter than expected. Then I'll take the over, Barry. You over or under?
Well, I'm going over, and I'll give you a quick story on, okay. on steel.
Okay.
Is, right. I had a talk to a prospective client who sells steel to manufacturers, and interesting. So here's how the pricing works currently. So for example, you need steel, right? Well, you as the manufacturer, you tell me. You basically get your order in, and so I'll have it in 2 months, right? So you're on the list to get it in 2 months. I'll tell you how much you're going to pay for it when it's time for me to deliver it to you in 2 months.
That's about right. About that's the same way the boat business is the same way right now.
It's you amazing. Could put so down just getting on the list.
Yeah, you could put down a deposit for a boat, not know what the final price will be when it's finally delivered. Ah, it's a crazy time. Okay, here's some examples here, all right? The best one I can find is a stock that we own in the emerging growth portfolio called Atkor, A-T-K-R, which manufactures electrical and mechanical products for the non-residential construction and industrial markets. Relative strength, 95. P-E ratio, 7, single digit. And it's been growing by 51% per year over the last 5 years. Now, that's really hard to find, okay? You got to really look. That's like a needle in a haystack. That doesn't mean it's going to go higher, but it's an example that I'm going to use today of this combination. Actually, there's quite a few high relative strength, low PE stocks in the market right now. And, I've already hinted that you're going to find them in the banking sector. The financial sector, the oil and gas sector, a little bit in the commodity sector, which is going to be my next example of a commodity stock. But ATKR, which is a small cap stock, definitely has those attributes at the current time. The next example I'll use is Freeport-McMoRan, which is starting to make some noise here, and I'm sure copper is the same problem that we're having. Oh, by the way, I saw Indonesia increase coal prices by like 10 or 15% yesterday.
Wow.
And there's no inflation, Ms. Woods, but I just disagree with her. That's all. We're at opposite ends of the spectrum. I think most people are. I mean, most analysts are. Freeport McMoRan, FCX. Relative strength is 83. Now, we don't own it. I kind of been waiting for it to get up above 90 or so. But that chart's taken a big improvement here today. It's been kind of sideways here until yesterday. It started to emerge. And then we got a huge jump in the stock today. I don't know if that's a precursor to a big inflation, hot inflation report. But they are basically copper, gold, silver, aluminum, too, don't forget. Yesterday we saw Alcoa that other Century Aluminum just bust loose on low stockpiles. FCX has a relative strength of 83, not quite to 90 yet, and a PE of 13. And then I'm going to give one that even though it's having a strong day and you may be tempted to get back into Chipotle, Chipotle has a P.E. ratio of 57, okay? I'm at 16 or lower, 15, 16, on down from there. 57 for pinto beans mixed with a little rice and just a little bit of meat, okay? That's how they work it there at Chipotle. And you've got a relative strength on Chipotle of 33. Well, Gunderson, the stock's up 7.5% today. What do you say about that? Look at the one-year chart. It's in a horrible downtrend. It's on the wrong side of the railroad tracks right now, in my opinion, in this environment. Okay, well.
Yeah, and we love Chipotle.
It's all right. It's fresh. It's better than Taco Bell.
We just didn't like the stock at this point in time.
No,
we did own
Chipotle.
It's 25% off its, you know, off its 52-week high. So I mean, it's,
big time.
That's where your momentum. That's including the it'd be down 32% if they didn't have that 7% bump today.
Yeah, today. All right. Well, you know what? It's Wednesday. I'm already thinking about this week's newsletter, which I begin tomorrow. I've got my portfolio sitting with the seatbelt on them right now. I'm ready to loosen up that seatbelt let people walk around the cabin if that CPI report comes in a little quieter and things start to settle down here a little bit. But man, the inflation winds are just blowing everywhere from my perspective. Maybe it's temporary. It's definitely not transitory. We found that out. I didn't ever think it was transitory, so we're going to really watch tomorrow. You want to be sure and be with us tomorrow for tomorrow's show. I'll be sending out messages throughout the day to almost everybody, even the free, they get the free newsletter every week, trying to keep people safe, not walking around the cabin during turbulence and out of the turbulent areas of the market for sure. You can get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. And if you like what we say here on the show, we've had opened a lot of new accounts, people coming to us because their person's not doing anything about what's happening and this big change is taking place in the world right now. It's a global rise in interest rates, and it's going to have a global impact on certain areas of the market. It's going to favor some, and it's going to greatly disfavor others. So you can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Have a great day.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade.
Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.